Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate agreeing in another overnight vote to claw back $9 billion in spending cuts Congress has already approved, including deep reductions to public broadcasting and foreign aid. Now it goes back to the House. The interest surrounding the Epstein files not going away. Attorney Sigrid McCauley has represented several women who say they were abused by Jeffrey Epstein.
There's a plethora of information that has not been made public, and the government is sitting on that. And so to see this flip-flop, it's been really disappointing.
President Trump writing on social media, if his supporters continue talking about it, they are no longer on the MAGA team. A storm system headed to New Orleans has people filling sandbags and Mayor LaToya Cantrell issuing warnings.
We urge all residents to be on guard for potential heavy rainfall and possibly a flash flooding.
The flood watch stretches from Alabama's Gulf Coast to several miles north and west of New Orleans. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Yesterday in the Beats, I talked a lot about the Emmy nominations, which were announced Tuesday morning. Kathy Bates was nominated for Best Actress for her role on the Matlock reboot. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Bates is the oldest actress ever to be nominated in the category at the age of 77. Bates crushed the old record set by Angela Lansbury, who was 70 at the time when she was last nominated for an Emmy. Lansbury bumping off Bates to keep her record would have actually been a great episode of Murder, She Wrote, or Matlock. In other old folks done good news, Harrison Ford has earned his first Emmy nomination at the tender age of 83 for his role in Shrinking. Ford plays therapist Paul Rhodes, who is battling Parkinson's. It's a nice honor for Ford, although it pretty much just means he's had such a great movie career, he's never had to do TV. Ford stars opposite Jason Segel and Wendy Malick on the Apple TV show. Both seasons are available to stream, and a third season has been ordered. From our Showbiz Fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks re-sign Livingston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks have re-signed center Chris Livingston after waiving him just 2 weeks ago. The move adds depth to the Bucks roster after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers in free agency, who says the move to L.A. is more like a homecoming.
You know, I'm a Cali boy, so, you know, I grew up in the Valley in North Hollywood. Obviously, things were very different back then. To see where the Clippers have come now, it's astonishing. It's beautiful. I'm glad to be a part of it, and hopefully I can help take them even further up.
The Bucks losing to the Bulls last night, 102-96, to wrap up the Summer League. NFL, Packers training camp starts next week. Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee today. Left tackle Rashid Walker asked about attending the quarterback's wedding to his fiancée, Ronica Stone.
The wedding was a beautiful wedding, beautiful ceremony, such a beautiful couple. Hopefully Ronica can, you know, keep Jordan on his A-game.
That's Packers left tackle Rashid Walker with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. If you're an artisan or ever wondered about Northern Wisconsin art, you want to tune in, we'll be at an artisan studio in Butternut, live on location. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight and a stray shower or two can be ruled out. Gusty north winds, lows dropping to the upper 50s. Thursday, an isolated shower early. Otherwise, skies will turn sunny. Highs of the lower 70s, mid-70s Friday. Right now, it's 55.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, we're joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to discuss the recent lawsuit he filed with other attorneys general to help preserve and protect federal education funding. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Noticeably cooler on a Thursday morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. You rainfall reporters are already actively engaged this morning, letting me know what you lived through in the past 24 hours' time. I'm just looking at some sporadic reports. Tornado down on the ground in Arena yesterday, west of Madison. Tornado sighted in the New Glarus area, south of Madison. And Dan, who's in the Mayville area, said he got 2.1 inches of rain, wind, and a tornado in the area. He says, please make it stop. He lived through the May 15th tornado that went through that same channel. Linda from Reeseville, 1 2/10 inches of rain. Some corn got lodged because of the wind. If you've got a weather update for me, that talk text line works, 877-301-FARM. We'll get to more from your talk text with me in just a little bit. Weather-wise for today, it looks like we might start off with a few clouds, but then the sun should break through. It's not going to be as warm as you think. 72 our expected high with a wind today out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight down to 55. Tomorrow, sunshine and 78. Saturday, looks like about a 50-50 chance of showers in the sun at showers and thunderstorms. Saturday's high around 81.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Na, 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 na. Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
There's a livestock sale this week, but it's not your typical animals on the auction block. The federal government is hosting its regular wild horse and donkey auction, but this go around, there's going to be a pickup location and adoption event here in Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. The Bureau of Land Management within the U.S. Department of the Interior puts on these online corral auctions. The sale is going on now through July 21st, and winning bidders can pick up their animal in September at the Ozaukee County Fairgrounds in Cedarburg. There's also going to be wild horses and donkeys up for adoption at that time. Jason Lutterman joins us from the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. Jason starts us off with why the Bureau of Land Management has a wild horse and burro auction in the first place.
The Bureau of Land Management is responsible for managing and protecting wild horses and burros on BLM Western public land. So these are mostly in 10 Western states. And our responsibility is to just allow the horses to be horses out on public lands. The main thing that we pay attention to make sure they have enough food and water. And because these herds, these horses and burros, they thrive so well on public lands that their populations actually double every 4 to 5 years. And so what our adoption program does is it helps us find homes for those animals that are that might run out of food or water on the range. And so this is a really important part of our program to help us keep the animals healthy and the land healthy.
Now, we're going to be talking about auction and adoption in this interview. Are these the same things, or are these separate?
So, yeah, we offer horses and burros for adoption and sale on the online corral. And those are two different ways you can bring home a wild horse or burro. Most of our animals are available for adoption. And those older animals or those animals that we've offered for adoption multiple times can be sold. And there's different parameters for each of those programs. What makes them sale eligible, which is a different program, the animal has to be over 10 years of age or have been offered for adoption at least 3 times. And what happens with the sale program is that you get ownership of your animal right away upon signing the bill of sale. Whereas if you adopt an animal, there is a waiting period of up to 1 year before you actually get title. You get to bring home your animal right away. But the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, holds on to your title for up to a year, and we conduct a compliance check to make sure the animal is getting good care and went to a good home.
One of the pickup locations is in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, so it's pretty convenient.
Yeah, so we try to make it as convenient as possible for folks to bring home a wild horse or burro through the online corral. And so while the auction is running from July 14th to the 21st, you have the option when you win your animal to select a pickup location, and that's because we want to make it as easy as possible for you. We don't want to make people in the East Coast have to drive all the way to the West Coast to one of our facilities to bring home their animal. And so we are already hosting an adoption event in Cedarburg, September 12th through the 13th. And so this pickup option is just so you can pick up your animal from that event instead of having to drive all the way across the country.
So who wants these wild animals typically?
So typically, a lot of people use wild horses for a wide variety of uses. A lot of people trail ride with them. They are very hardy animals. They're very sure-footed. And so they make great companions for the trails. A lot of people use them for ranch work. They are really trainable for a variety of disciplines because you're getting a horse that doesn't have any bad habits already. They don't have any previous training. They're really a blank slate for you to train the horse for whatever you might need a horse to do.
What about the burro side?
So a lot of people use them as guard animals. Burros make great guard animals. They'll run off coyotes or other predators that might threaten your herd. A lot of people just keep them as pets. I mean, you take one look at one of those burros and you'll see why. They're very cute animals, and a lot of people have them around as pets or livestock guardians. Some people take them on the trails as well. They can be used as pack animals. Basically, anything you want a donkey to do, that's what this burro is for.
So you've probably heard some of the success stories from a successful wild horse or donkey adoption. Can you share any with us today?
Yeah, so a lot of horses go on to win major prizes. A lot of people use animals to show. We've had a lot of burros go on to also win different livestock shows. They're really just great all-around animals. You can do anything. Some of the best stories that I hear about are horses are used for therapy, actually. A lot of people who suffer from PTSD or other mental illnesses have found a lot of help in working with a wild horse or wild burro. Just something about coming from the same place of uncertainty that gives a lot of people help with their mental struggles.
Thank you for that, Jason. Now we should probably talk about how the auction process works, because there are some prerequisites.
That's right. So you want to go online to our website, wildhorsesonline.blm.gov, and submit an application, because you're going to want to get approved before bidding starts on July 14th. And so it's all pretty straightforward. When you go to our website, you can create an account and then submit your adoption application. And like I said before, there are a couple requirements that we have for bringing home a wild horse or wild burro. You do need 6-foot high fences for the adult horses. If you adopt a yearling, they can be as low as 5 feet. And for burros, it's 4.5 feet. And then you need at least 400 square feet of corral space per animal with access to food, water, and shelter.
And then how long does that approval process typically take?
It can be the same day. It depends on how much, how many applications we receive during that day. But approval can typically take just a couple days.
Bidding starts at $125, but what's the average price that these animals go for?
It's typically a couple $100s. Every animal is different, of course. Those animals may be with more unique coloring or younger in age typically will go for more. But our average adoptions tend to hover around a couple $100s.
How many animals do you have for sale this year?
Ooh, we're still counting them, actually. We're into the hundreds now. So there's going to be plenty to choose from horses to burros, all different ages, all different colors. Just definitely encourage you to go online to our website, wildhorsesonline.blm.gov, and you can actually just browse the animals available before you even submit an application.
Can you tell me, Jason, the history of this program?
We've been offering horses and burros for adoptions from our facilities and from our different adoption events for almost 50 years now. The program started in 1971 when Congress passed the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act, and then our adoption program stemmed from that several years later. And so we've been doing this a lot. We've placed over 300,000 wild horses and burros into private care. They're just very prized, and once you adopt one and go through that experience, we have a lot of people returning to adopt another one, and so we like to see them go to those good homes.
Jason Lauterman joining us from the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. This week's online auction is your chance to provide a good home to a wild horse or donkey. Just search the National Wild Horse and Burro Program online to get your links to the auction. We've also got links and adoption information at MidwestFarmReport.com. The auction ends on July 21st, but the pickup location and adoption event is September 12th and 13th at the Ozaukee County Fairgrounds in Cedarburg. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to, and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Well, he said it overflowed, so he's guessing in Two Rivers, 7-plus inches of rain. There's other folks out there with an inch, maybe 2 inches, but that one is the big one. I know there were tornadoes around the state. I mean, where do you want to begin with this one?
Well, we'll follow up on the rain a little. I've got a report from a mile and 4/10 north of Two Rivers. Says 5.57. Okay. That came through the Weather Service. So
yeah,
it was wet, no doubt.
Yeah, well, and we knew it was going to put events at risk. Fond du Lac County canceled their truck tractor pull last night. I'm not sure what Greene County had going on, but the bottom line is there was some severe stuff that popped up. I know there was a reported tornado west of Madison and Rena, south of Madison down towards New Glarus. Dan from Mayville said that there was a tornado in his area. I mean, it was just kind of crazy for a very short period of time, though.
Yeah, it wasn't a real long-lasting thing, but the system was moving slow, and that kind of fed into some of that development as well. I do see a report of that tornado captured near Dodgeville. That's near the one you're talking about, west and southwest of Madison yesterday afternoon. Strong winds, you know, we're going to see some crop damage. Some things went on, especially from what happened yet late yesterday. Today it'll show up. Rainfall amounts all over the place. I see La Crosse at 2.21. A couple of reports from my friend John and Paul here, just over an inch and three-tenths. Now, we are going to be a little quieter today. The low-pressure system has pulled that front away from us. The cool front today lining up from lower Michigan into northwest parts of Indiana, Illinois, down to Missouri. It's moving away. There is a little scattered light rain still in that northeast part of Wisconsin. And I'm looking up towards Seymour, just west of Green Bay, up toward O'Connell, that kind of an area, up toward Marinette, in fact. That will move out pretty quickly today. So in that area, you'll have a little rain for the next couple of hours, but that will pull away. We'll all begin to dry out. Western Wisconsin with a greater possibility of drying out and actually having a little sunshine try to break on through. We'll see those skies clear a bit tonight, not into the day Friday. It sounds better, a big factor, much cooler. We really knocked the temperatures down yesterday. I was in the vehicle at about 3 in the afternoon in Milwaukee. It was like 86 degrees on the car dashboard. By the time we got 20, 30 miles north, we were down into the upper 70s. That's when the rain started. It really did cool down. We'll stay cooler today and tomorrow as well. But that front that's off to the south will be returning north as a warm front. And I do need to talk of more rain chance. Oh, it's not going to be anything like we've just seen. In fact, in western Wisconsin, already into Friday afternoon, a little light rain develops. All of us seeing some rain chance Friday night that could linger into Saturday. A couple of tenths of an inch, that should be about the extent. Not going to be a big deal, but additional rain we probably don't need after seeing inches of rainfall, but that's the chance we'll be faced with. Those temperatures warm a little bit, starting to get closer to normal again as we make our way through the weekend and on into early next week, you know, back into the lower 80s for those daytime highs where it should be in July. But there could be a little instability and maybe a hit or miss shower chance even starting on toward the early part of next week, too. I'll have forecast details right
family
after this.
Family reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference. Thank you very much for the picture, Stu. I got a picture from the 920 of a tornado on the ground just north of Beaver Dam by that site where they're planning the data center, just beyond the kind of Walmart mall there. And then we've got the rainfall reports that continue to really vary. Frank from Elroy, 2 inches. Jeff in Waupun, 2 inches. And then on the flip side of that, we got just about a half an inch north of Burnett, 4 tenths of an inch in McFarland, and about 4 tenths of an inch in Belgium. So, man, just a really interesting storm as far as what it brought and what some people missed.
Yeah, and it was even not quite that way, but Racine reporting 2/100ths of an inch. It was just that way, and it's going to be done. That rain in northeast Wisconsin ending this morning. The rest of us, although there may be some clouds, will start to brighten up today. Lower 70s for daytime highs, you know, maybe an upper 60 in the far north, just into the 70s elsewhere. The north wind's about 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy, and we all drop back into the 50s, low 50s north, mid or upper further south. Winds becoming southeast later tonight. by Friday, some sunshine, and we should push those upper 70s, maybe an 80 in the west. That chance of a shower developing in western Wisconsin later Friday. The rain chance then, showers and possibly thunderstorms Friday night. Not a whole lot of rain. Rain lingers into Saturday, especially in the south and east, and the skies may begin to clear later in the day, but some clouds to start it out, and upper 70s and low 80s for Saturday, Pam, with the south breeze, and a little warmer, upper 70s, almost 80 Sunday, but a slight rain chance late in the day, and that kind of lingers, that slight chance, into early next week.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mock, Ag Meteorologist with weather details. You have weather details that you'd like to share? Talk text line is pretty lively this morning. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Use it.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. Here's a portion of a conversation recently had on the John and Gordy Show with writer Mike McCabe about the history of milk strikes in Wisconsin.
You know, a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Not taught in school. Not something that is on very many people's radar. But
well, tell us about it.
Yeah, in the area I'm talking about, where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah,
and in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And farmers had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign. And eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks, and they were blocking, shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress.
Find out more about the John and Gordy Show and our entire lineup at civicmedia.us.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate agreeing in another overnight vote to claw back $9 billion in spending cuts Congress has already approved, including deep reductions to public broadcasting and foreign aid. Now it goes back to the House. The interest surrounding the Epstein files not going away. Attorney Sigrid McCauley has represented several women who say they were abused by Jeffrey Epstein.
There's a plethora of information that has not been made public, and the government is sitting on that. And so to see this flip-flop, it's been really disappointing.
President Trump writing on social media, if his supporters continue talking about it, they are no longer on the MAGA team. A storm system headed to New Orleans has people filling sandbags and Mayor LaToya Cantrell issuing warnings.
We urge all residents to be on guard for potential heavy rainfall and possibly a flash flooding.
The flood watch stretches from Alabama's Gulf Coast to several miles north and west of New Orleans. This is ABC News.
The Bucks re-signed Livingston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks have re-signed center Chris Livingston after waiving him just 2 weeks ago. The move adds depth to the Bucks roster after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers in free agency, who says the move to L.A. is more like a homecoming.
You know, I'm a Cali boy, so, you know, I grew up in the Valley in North Hollywood. Obviously, things were very different back then. To see where the Clippers have come now, it's just, it's astonishing. It's beautiful. I'm glad to be a part of it, and hopefully I can help take them even further up.
The Bucks losing to the Bulls last night, 102-96, to wrap up the summer league. NFL Packers training camp starts next week. Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee today. Left tackle Rashid Walker asked about attending the quarterback's wedding to his fiance Ronica Stone.
The wedding was a beautiful wedding, beautiful ceremony, such a beautiful couple. Hopefully Ronica can, you know, keep Jordan on his A game.
That's Packers left tackle Rashid Walker with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vandenplas, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then I'm joined by Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Opera House. We're going to light a Thursday like it's a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm a meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight and a stray shower or two can be ruled out. Gusty north winds, lows dropping to the upper 50s. Thursday, an isolated shower early. Otherwise, skies will turn sunny. Highs of the lower 70s, mid-70s Friday. Right now, it's 55.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Rudin appearance on Matinee on Air.
We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a Civic Media news reporter.
Nice.
On our Civic Media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks you know talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seeing press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, you know, not necessarily happy. You know, the tariffs are something that's really turned this country around, and not necessarily in a good way. You know, it's yes, short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, you know, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty vague, and certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life he was one of those people?
That's something he was, you know, we have on video and we played it on various shows, and he made a, He not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically SNAP. He was talking about SNAP benefits, but he also, I mean, accused the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that SNAP benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Aaron?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, you know, currently, there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills, which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one. And so let's keep them together.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
They had like a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I see the weather played havoc with the Fond du Lac County Fair last night. They did have to cancel their truck and tractor pull. Concerts on the square around the Madison Capital area got canceled yesterday as well. Keep those weather updates coming my way. Again, like I said, the talk text line wide open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 17th day of July. What can I tell you? On this day, 1955, Disneyland opens its doors for the very first time. They called it the happiest place on earth. It was opened by Walt Disney in Anaheim, California on this day, 1955. On this day, 1995, Scott Paper and Kimberly Clark merged in Wisconsin. Months of negotiation, the merger of Scott Paper and Kimberly Clark turned into a $9.4 billion merger that created a Fortune 100 global consumer products company. They've got revenue, or had revenue then, of $13 billion. That merger happened on this day back in 1995. And happy birthday today to Luke Bryan, coming to Wisconsin with his On the Farm tour. He's 49 today. And the Hoff, David Hasselhoff, turned 73 today. And now you know. As daylight pours across to Wisconsin, we'll have a better idea of what kind of crop damage might have been done in the severe weather last night. Already getting reports from you of corn that got lodged because of the high winds. You know, Wisconsin's got a new corn extension specialist. Her name, Dr. Harkirat Kaur. And Ben Jarbo caught up with her to find out about this year's corn crop so far.
Knee high by the 4th of July has already come and gone. Now across Wisconsin, corn is starting to produce silk and tassels. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Dr. Harkirat Kaur, a corn agronomist with UW-Madison, is here to share an update on the growing progression in the state.
So most of the corn around the state is around V11, V12 at this point, and some of it is already moving forward with corn tassel and corn silking. That's actually interesting because we started off the season earlier than last year, but because of it being cooler in the later half of May and first half of June, the progress or the accumulation of, you know, growing degree units was really slower as opposed to the 30-year average. So it wasn't progressing as fast. But I would say last 2 to 3 weeks, things have been, you know, warming up, and we've been seeing a lot more faster progress as opposed to what we were seeing before. And to some extent, the smoke haze did affect the overall crop progress, but not to an extent that it will impact any yield.
Within the last couple of months, we've gone through spurts of a lot of rain. How has that been affecting the corn crop for this year? I mean, last year it happened during planting, and thankfully it held off a little bit longer, but has that proven to be better for the corn this year?
So, yeah, this year is more of a normalish year for Wisconsin, I would say. Like last year, it started off really wet, and then there was like a dry period, which affected the overall crop growth. But this year, we have been having consistent you know, phases of rain and warm weather and everything. So it's been overall a better year, and the corn's looking clean. I've been to some fields in the northern part of Wisconsin. They're a little bit behind than what we are seeing in the south, but we haven't seen any, I would say, alarming stressors in both in terms of insect injury or any disease symptoms. And, you know, the one of the bigger ones that we're at on the lookout being tar spot. We haven't seen tar spot, at least I haven't seen, and I haven't heard the reports of tar spot around the state. But we've been seeing similar reports from down south in Indiana. So let's see if it moves up or not. And southern corn rust, last year it was a really bad year for that. It was something, you know, which was new to the Wisconsin growers in southern Wisconsin region, but this year we haven't seen much of that either. But things will make more sense and will start changing as we approach silking and tasseling. So yeah.
Well, and a lot of corn here in Wisconsin, at least southern part of Wisconsin, has started silking and tasseling. What are some of those things that farmers should really be looking out for right now in this time of year?
So, number one, you got to get on in the field and scout for any infections, you know, be it tar spot rust, anything that you see, or gray leaf spot. Some of the growers are seeing actually gray leaf spots, so not at an alarming rate, but some reports. The other thing is you got to keep an eye on insect pressure or insect flight in your field. I was talking to somebody this morning, actually, and they have been seeing increased flight of corn earworms in their field. So if those kind of, you know, insect flights continue, that it could lead to eventually plant physical damage to the plant, which kind of aids infections for molds and can accumulate to mycotoxin accumulation eventually, which would overall impact the silage quality in terms of both digestibility and overall safety for the livestock eventually feeding on this.
Core also wants to remind farmers that come mid-August or late August, start scouting your fields for moisture levels so that way you know when to harvest your corn for silage. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You know, no matter the size of the farm or what they're raising, chances are every once in a while they need a pretty good sized semi to either take the milk away from the farm, the livestock away from the farm, or maybe deliver feed or other goods to the farm. And the folks driving those semis are in high demand. Commercial driver's license programs around Wisconsin are a little bit on the sparse side, but they're getting better. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College down in Fenimore is going to begin offering commercial driver's license training. According to Holly Straka, who's the director of business and industry services, if they didn't offer this kind of training to students, then students would have to likely travel outside of Wisconsin across the Midwest to find and attain these skills. She explains the numbers they've been looking at when considering expanding their curriculum.
CDL drivers, they're in high demand across our region, right? Ag is one of them, and our electrical power distribution is another one. And those students were having to go, you know, quite far out into, you know, Iowa and a few hours away from Wisconsin to get those. Sometimes that those extra travel costs and that time can be a barrier. And so we had heard from A, our students, and B, a lot of local businesses that, you know, with the changes in the CDL laws, it has been consistently tougher and tougher to obtain the CDL. So we thought if we could figure out a way to bring something local, that we could help a huge market. And it was pretty successful for the first go around.
Holly Straka, she is the Director of Business and Industry Services for Southwest Wisconsin Technical College down in Fenimore. Again, working to try to offer curriculum that can address some of the trade shortages that we're experiencing around Wisconsin. We'll find out what's happening with the markets. Matt Tranel from EverAg is next. Right now, as I look at the screen, the Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning is a little bit red, down about 50 points. In overnight electronic trade, September corn's unchanged. December new crop down a penny right now at 423. The August soybeans are unchanged. The November new crop right now also unchanged at 1021. Wheat for September's down a penny at 540. December wheat down 2 at 560. Dairy struggled yesterday in Chicago. No change on barrel or block cheese, but AA butter was down another penny at 253 a pound. And this morning, the Class 3 milk that goes into cheese for August, it's right now 7 cents stronger, 1753. September's up 9, 1827 a hundredweight. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Tranel from EverAg joining us next.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Rhode Island has given access to a permanent vote-by-mail list to all voters in a bill signed by Governor Dan McKee. The state joins 9 other states and D.C., allowing voters to join a permanent vote-by-mail list. The state's permanent list was previously available, quote, because of physical illness or infirmity, or because I am disabled for an indefinite period. Unlike systems in several other states, however, after opting in, Rhode Island voters automatically receive a mail-in voting application, not a ballot. That application still needs to be filled out and returned with an absentee ballot sent later. Massachusetts and Pennsylvania have similar systems, according to Voting Rights Lab. Arizona, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Virginia, and D.C. have permanent vote-by-mail lists for any voter. 11 other states have permanent lists for the disabled, and Louisiana has a permanent absentee list available for seniors, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Some states recently made their formerly permanent lists only semi-permanent. Florida's, formerly 4 years, requires reapplication after an even-year general election. Oklahoma, Texas, and South Dakota allow only a year. Your status can be checked at your local election office or state portal if available. We have links to more information on Rhode Island's new law at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. If you're an artisan or ever wondered about Northern Wisconsin art, you'll want to tune in. We'll be at an artisan studio in Butternut, live on location. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
He's in Southwest Wisconsin. You said this time around, Matt, you guys finally got missed, huh?
Yeah, we have definitely caught our fair share of wind and rain over the course of the last 3 weeks, but yesterday we kind of were on the edge of the rainfall and only got a couple of tenths. So I know a lot of the farmers in our area down here were happy about that because they are all busy with their crop hay.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, a week ago, that's where, like, for example, Darlington picking up so much rain that they had to basically shut down the fairgrounds. We don't like to see that. We don't necessarily like to see the prices we're looking at in the dairy complex these days either, Matt. Yesterday, barrel and block cheese stood still, but we have felt kind of a gradual decline. What's going on?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a gradual decline, and I think it's multifaceted in regards to reasons why. First, on the international part, is we've seen the Oceania and European cheese prices drift off a little bit. On Tuesday, we had the global dairy trade, and cheddar cheese was down 5.6%, and now we're standing at $2.08 a pound. And then when we look at the European price, both on a mozzarella and cheddar basis, the last few weeks we have seen that particular price drop about 1% each week. And the importance of that is that the United States has been cracking off some pretty impressive export orders globally here lately. I know the month of May, we watched a record amount of exports at 114 million pounds leave our shores. But when we look at garnering the attention for exports, a lower world market would mean that the United States would need to drift down to a lower price to continue to get those exports. So I know European prices have definitely been kind of a huge watch point for us here at EverAg, because that's kind of been a little bit of a notion as to what might happen in our CME spot prices. But CME spot prices have drifted, and I think that's been twofold. There has been limited domestic demand. When we look at any of the retail scanners or any of the indicators, it would say that domestic demand is either flat or maybe negative by a touch. And then when we look at these new cheese plants, they've definitely kept a little bit of a pressure point on the sales side of the market, and we've kind of drifted prices back down to the lower 160s, which when we look at the rest of 2025, 160 has really been a value point for our domestic prices. When we look way back into January, that's kind of where we bottomed out and booked a lot of exports. In April, that's where we bottomed out and booked a lot of exports. And so the hope is that 160 again is the support level. We've definitely heard anecdotal reports that a lot of export orders are currently being inked right now. And so we do believe that that will tighten up the spot market at some point. But in today's market, because domestic demand has been so soft, it just hasn't mattered quite yet.
All right. Matt Tranel joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. He's one of the dairy analysts with the EverAg team. And I remind you about their website, ever.ag, where you can find some of these details. Matt, you know, we talk about all these plants that are coming online, some with special mixes or special product lines, but some, to your point, are all about cheese. One question I had asked before they became operational is, where is that cheese going? Have we got a better handle on where some of these big cheese plants that have come online, Kansas, the Dakotas, and farther west, is it going to that export market? Is it going into foods? Do we have any idea where all that cheese is going? Because they've got to keep those plants running pretty much at full speed to show return on investment, don't they?
They do, yeah. And a lot of those plants are still a little bit in the ramp-up phase. Now, I will say that two of the plants that were built and operational last year are probably the primary culprits at this point as to why there has been so much cheese traded on the CME spot market. A lot of these new plants, especially the larger of in nature plants, they do either produce some type of like commodity cheddar or variety like that. They're not as much into the specialty. The specialties are generally some of your smaller plants. And so, yeah, a lot of these plants are kind of going into the retail space, the fast food space, things of that nature. You are seeing some of the plants because of where they're located, specifically Texas, servicing the Mexico export market. But a lot of our exports that go elsewhere go off the West Coast. And so when we've plopped some of these plants down in New York and South Dakota and Kansas, it's not as likely that those ones are necessarily going to service the export market. But what that has likely done is replace some of the cheese that might have come from the West into the Midwest or elsewhere. And so these ones are more strategically handling the U.S. business, and a lot more of that cheese that may have been coming west to the east is likely going to the export market.
All right, you said export market. I'm giving you less than 60 seconds, Matt. What's your read on the potential damage to dairy if Canada and Mexico see those enhanced tariffs?
Yeah, no, it's going to be pretty large. I mean, you look at Mexico, and Mexico's been buying a third to 40% of all of our cheese exports that we've been seeing. And like we mentioned, in May, it was a record, and year to date, we're up like 7%. So Mexico would be catastrophic, as they are our biggest buyer. Canada would also be tough. I mean, they do protect their dairy industry a little bit closer, but specifically butter exports to Canada would be a huge problem. It does look like some of the products are protected under the USMCA agreement. So that's good as well.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Matt Tranel joining us live this morning, one of the dairy analysts from EverAg, ever.ag, their website. Thanks.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
I know you don't want to hear it, but it's almost time to go back to school. Sorry. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And there's a school supply drive to support Outagamie County Back to School program at Funset Boulevard on Friday, July 25th, starting at 12 p.m. If you donate 5 items, you'll receive a fun card for unlimited access to the playground, laser tag, bumper cars, train, carousel, and so much more. If you want to see a full list of events, check it out by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
A novel way to get kids to drink their milk. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Elementary school children are a bit young to become adoptive parents, but when the adoptee is a one-month-old dairy calf, it makes perfect sense. Brittany Snyder supervises the Pennsylvania-based Dairy Excellence Foundation's Adopt-A-Cow program.
We focus on those first couple months of life, but also share that experience of what her mom is doing on the farm and how her milk is going into maybe their school milk, or maybe it's being sold at Walmart, or maybe it's sold at a local farm store. We tell that whole story in updates and lesson plans. There's many different layers to this program, but really at the core of it, it's bringing the farm to the classroom and giving them something fun and easy and tangible to hold on to learn about where their food comes from. And that's really the core of why Adopt-A-Cow came to exist and continues to be successful year after year.
Dairy farmers participate by providing pictures, videos, and updates on the calf's growth. Again, Brittany Snyder.
They get so attached to this calf and love this calf. And many teachers have shared with us that they'll use this calf as a motivator, like, hey, don't forget, you know, one calf's name this year is Peony. So Peony is watching you. You know, I need you all to listen up. We can't get to our update on her if we're not getting through this next workshop or next section.
More tomorrow
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, we're joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to discuss the recent lawsuit he filed with other attorneys general to help preserve and protect federal education funding. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another all-night vote goes to the Republicans.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 48, and on this vote, the bill is amended as passed.
This time, the Senate agreed to claw back $9 billion in federal funding that had already been approved for foreign aid, public health, and public broadcasting. President Trump calling out his own supporters on social media, saying if they continue talking about the refusal to release any more information on Jeffrey Epstein, they're no longer a part of the MAGA movement. However, says ABC's Perry Russum in Washington,
new polling shows a majority of Americans are not happy with the government's handling of the Epstein files. Just 17% of people approving. Two-thirds of those polled say they think the government is covering up evidence.
More than 60 people were killed in a fire that broke out in the central Iraqi city of Kut. They were inside a shopping center that had just opened a few days ago. Many of those who were killed in the fire were trapped inside the building. This is ABC News.
Local.